Welcome to
Wild in the Sheets.
Wild in the Sheets.
Welcome to the Bon Jovi Talk podcast.
So we're back on the Bon Jovi Talk podcast. Some of you might remember Adam, who was on one of the very first Bon Jovi Talk podcasts. I don't think I've ever had a response with so many laughs, and even to this day, people are still commenting about that podcast. So for those who don't know you, Adam, I'll let you introduce yourself and whatnot first.
Yes, I am the great Hughesy from the It's Hughesy Hello podcast. Kind of racist, but not really. I used to be kind of a comedy person, and I had this old routine where I noticed that the C word, otherwise known as cunt, fits so easily into Bon Jovi song lyrics and titles. Which is one of the reasons, well, which I'll talk about why I didn't so much enjoy last time I seen them live, because a dad with his kid tried to start a fight with me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because you were singing that word.
Oh, yes, I was.
Was that to every song, or was it just one or two?
All of them.
So what did the dad try and do?
He says that he turned around and he goes, could you not say that so much in front of my kid? And I was blocked because I'd been drinking all day. And I says, well, no, I will say it, and don't, like it's not a PG event. And especially when we got the bad medicine, which you can guess what I renamed it. You know, and then the girl I was with, I kept grabbing her and all this stuff. And so fuck him. I'll do it again.
So where was that? Was that at the Dublin shows?
Yeah, at the RDS.
Yeah, so did you go to both nights?
Just one, and I've got to be honest, I think that's possibly the last time I'll see Bon Jovi.
Oh, wow, how come?
Well, see, that week for me was, I went to see Metallica on the Saturday beforehand. Then during the week, I went to see Fleetwood Mac. And their support act was the Pretenders, and then Shane McGowan was there. That was one of the best fucking gigs ever. Mm. So the expectations for Bon Jovi were unreachable for any band.
Yeah.
And on top of that, I was badly hungover from the previous weeks. I'm drunk again. I mean, not right now. I was drunk that day. So it was just unreachable. And then the thing, it's weird. I was talking to someone about Bon Jovi yesterday, and there's such a 50-50 band for me, and that I really love some of the stuff, but then a lot of the stuff I fucking hate it. And sadly, they didn't play a lot of the shit I wanted to hear. Like, so it just wasn't my kind of gig.
So I want to know, obviously, kind of similar to yourself, I kind of want, you know, different songs played at Bon Jovi shows, but what were your expectations for the set list? Did you follow it at all, or...?
I hadn't been following it, but you see, for me, I only really go up to the 90s, to the These Days album, and then I didn't like anything else they've done for years, apart from the single, This House Is Not For Sale, which you can guess what I retitled. And so apart from, I want to hear the 80s and 90s and nothing else, but Bon Jovi still plays a lot of stuff from every album, so like half the, but one of the things I noticed about that gig was I didn't seem to be the only one thinking that, because there was a lot of people going to get drinks and a lot of people going to the toilet, whereas like a Fleetwood Mac, you didn't want to move, because like if you move, you just lost your spot.
Yeah, that is one thing that I've noticed that Bon Jovi shows is that a lot of like piss breaks and time to go and get a drink and whatnot, and it's quite embarrassing, especially when they play the ballads. It just kind of the floor kind of just empties out. What was your expectations then going up? Obviously you said that you've seen Fleetwood Mac and it was the other Metallica, so with your expectations being high, was that just because the other shows were so good, or because you've seen Bon Jovi before and they've put on a show before?
It was that. I remember getting home from Fleetwood Mac in the morning after. I was sitting on the sofa, hungover, and Bon Jovi Live from Wembley Stadium was on.
Okay.
And that's when they were fucking flawless. And the set list is great, and every song is amazing. And it's like, I can't wait for this. But then they had the Manic Street Preachers as a support act, which for me, they're one of my favorite bands fucking ever. So when they did their support slot, it's like, nothing's going to top this.
Yeah.
And then I remember there being a weirdly long gap between the Manic's last song and Bon Jovi. Like, it's like 45 minutes. It's like, that's way too long.
Yeah. What did you think of the Manic's obviously supporting them? That was the first time. I seen them 4 times that week, but I thought they were really good. But obviously, yourself being a fan, you know, were they as good as they used to be or anything?
Yeah, the one of those... See, the thing about the Manics, it's a shame, is that they're still exactly as good as the 90s, but just their popularity is fucking dwarfed. But I thought they blew Bon Jovi away, and I knew, it's like, right, this is going to be a problem. And on top of that, I was in kind of a bad mood because, not to be sexist, but the stupid bloody woman who was driving us from Belfast down to Dublin took the wrong journey, so we arrived down there 2 hours later than planned. And then when we got to our place where we were staying for the night, she had said to us, oh, this is walking distance from the venue. And it was, if you wanted to walk for 4 hours. So it's like, we as soon as we got down there, we're drinking, and we're like, oh, we'll go order a taxi. And they're like, oh, we can't get a taxi. It's fucking Dublin on a Saturday night. Yeah. I was like, shit. So we go to walk. We realize how far away it is. We had to jump on a bus, and then the bus driver's giving me shit because I'm drunk and I'm trying to act sober. And then when you get there, it's like, oh my God, if you just would have done what I said when I told you to do it.
So I want to know what was, for you, what was disappointing at the Bon Jovi show? Was it John's vocals, the energy, the crowd, the set list? Was it just a combination of everything?
It was a little bit of everything, because the thing about Bon Jovi, it's not that he's shit, because he's not shit, but it's just that the... you expect so much of him based on the 80s and 90s stuff.
Yeah.
And I think the fact that he's at this age, it was like, it was an unreachable expectations. But even just stuff like the set list, which I've got up here, like, I got this stupid fucking thing. Right, so you've got a, This House Is Not For Sale, which I love. Raise Your Hands, which I love. Then it gets shit for ages.
Mm.
It goes, You Give Love A Bad Name, which I call You Give Cunt A Bad Name. Born To Be My Baby, I hate that song. Roller Coaster, never heard it. Lost Highway, shit. Runaway, I don't like. We Weren't Born To Follow, don't like it. Have A Nice Day, and I don't like that. Then you get Keep The Faith. So that's 9 songs.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, this is not working out the way I hoped. And there was a lot of this. And then, like, Bed of Roses in the... And then, see, then they went into Bed of Roses, In These Arms, which is 2 of my favorites ever. Then It's My Life, shit. We Don't Run, crap. Wanted Dead or Alive. I love it, but it's not... It's a little bit played out. Lay Your Hands On Me, I love. Captain Crash and the Beauty Queen from Mars. Like, see, how did that song title even get away? It's like, let's call the song Pedophilia Is Great. And I go, no, something even worse. So I've got an idea. We Got It Going On is shite. And then Asleep When I'm Dead, Cunt Medicine, Someday I'll Be Saturday Night, I'll Be There If You're Living On A Prayer. And then it ended with These Days. And I just thought it was good, but it wasn't mind-blowing.
So what would you have changed in the set list? Like, what songs would you have put in and taken out? Because to be fair, as like a diehard fan, I kind of thought that the set list was kind of filled with hits rather than... like kind of songs that catered everyone for me. I mean, the second night, which I think is the one you're talking about there, where we got like Roller Coaster and that, there was like 6 changes from the night before, which for Bon Jovi standards, certainly today, isn't too bad. But if you're going to one show, I can kind of see why, you know, maybe it's not the type of set list for you.
Yeah.
What type of songs would you have wanted in there?
I'd have liked a lot more of These Days.
To be fair, I don't think they've played much These Days, though, since 2011, maybe.
Yeah, because this ain't a love song, I think, Square would have loved. It's weird, because as much as they're greatest hits band, there's a lot of the greatest hits they didn't play. Like, what's the song? Oh, I'm going blank. Oh, Shot, Blaze of Glory.
Yeah.
Which I was shocked at not getting.
Again, but, you know. It's mad, because I don't know if they just, I'm so used to, I say the hits, but you kind of hit the nail on the head with the likes of Captain Crash and We Got It Going On and Lost Highway. They're not hits, but they get played every single show. And if they're the songs that just need to be taken out, because half the audience don't even know them, and half the audience have already seen them, and it's just kind of like, just change it up a little bit on them type of songs.
Yeah, see, I went to see U2 twice over the past 2 years, and on both the nights the set list, it's like you do understand you're a big band. Like, you don't need to play the same. Like, Bon Jovi don't need to play Living on a Prayer.
Yeah.
It's like, well, you don't think you're already established? You're playing the stadium.
Yeah.
And with U2, it's that case. It's like, with U2, it's like, you know, we've heard this song before. We've heard With or Without You. You could play something a little bit fresher. But at the same time, I'm still glad that I can say that I got to see them.
Is that how many times have you seen them live?
Once.
Oh, wow, really? So that was your first one?
First and possibly last, because like, they're not cheap tickets. But that's something that Elsa was going to mention, is that Bon Jovi did a thing fairly recently that was pretty great, in that they announced they've cancelled their 2020 tour.
Yeah.
Which I thought was amazing. And the fact that he was honest and said, we're doing it so that people can get the money back. And he's personally losing a lot of money from this himself. I thought that was pretty great.
Not to kind of discredit him, but I was quite shocked that he'd done that, because we kind of know by now, and this isn't bad mouthing him as such, you know, it's a business really at the end of the day, but we know how much he loves money. And I thought Bon Jovi were going to be one of them acts that postpone the shows. And if you want a refund, it's there. But if not, you know, you'll have to wait till 2022 when they tour again, or whenever it could be. Yeah. I honestly thought they were just going to postpone it and not give anyone money back, or it give them as an option type thing.
Yeah, because I've family promoters, and apparently Bon Jovi and the Foo Fighters separately were about to announce huge UK and Ireland tours for the winter.
For the winter?
Yeah, so there's a lot of cash they've messed out on.
Wow. That's a surprise that they're going to do it in the winter. I can't remember the last time Bon Jovi came to the UK in the winter, to be honest.
Yeah.
It should be a surprise. So, have you heard any of the new songs from the new album?
I heard part of Unbroken, and it just wasn't for me.
Yeah, to be honest, you're not the only one there. I think it's probably in my top five worst Bon Jovi songs, I think.
It's just lyrically, it's not, it's like so generic. And all the songs are like we, it might as well call it You Can Do It.
Yeah.
And like, to all this motivational stuff, and it's like, we just want to hear big guitar solos and songs about women or partying or whatever, but at least he's acting his age.
I know. It's mad, because even though, I don't know if you've heard Limitless, which is like the classed as the first single, have you heard that one yet?
No.
I mean, you don't really want to, but that's kind of like a typical like Bon Jovi post-2000, you know, like live your life and get up and go type of song. And I'm with you. I'm kind of like, you know, just release something that doesn't have to be so poppy and for the charts,
I'm not saying like they need to go like heavy metal or anything like that, but Bon Jovi could do like a sort of Keep the Faith, New Jersey type album, and they don't need to worry about the radio or any of that shit. Like, they could rock and people would buy it, and it might like Bon Jovi keeps going on about how much he loves Bruce Springsteen, and it's like, right, so why don't you do that sort of Bruce Springsteen stuff?
Yeah, like for me, I was thinking the other day, I was doing a podcast with someone on here, and I was saying he's trying to chase these hits and whatever else, but This House Is Not For Sale flopped in the UK. It was the lowest ever entry since Slippery When Wet, you know, for an album. And then they're still selling out stadiums, so it's not like they need to release new music to sell out these stadiums, because no one's even listening to the new music.
Yeah, it's like the Rolling Stones just put out their first new song in 15 years or something.
Yeah.
And that's not going to make them any bigger. Like with bands like Bon Jovi, Rolling Stones, they've made it. So they can't get bigger, because they've already played in the biggest venues on the planet. So new stuff only kills off casuals. But at the same time, fuck them.
So have you heard any of that song that John wrote for, like, the coronavirus or whatever it's called? Do What You Can.
No. See, the problem I have with this coronavirus shit is... it's really made me come to terms with how much I dislike so many people, and it's exposed a lot of celebrities as complete scumbags. Like, I take it you've seen that Imagine thing?
Yeah.
Like, what was that all about? Yeah. Like, these celebrities are so demented that they're like, tell you what, give me that there phone, I'll sing four words from the John Lennon song, and the virus will be cured after I come away from my piss. And it's like a song isn't going to do it. It's just a matter of scientists having the money to fucking, what do you call it? Research and come up with a vaccine. So all these songs about it, and that song that Bono did was fucking terrible, and he seemed drunk and... So to answer your question, no, I haven't heard it.
It's probably the best song that he's done since This House Is Not For Sale, to be fair, but it's now being added onto the new album. This song for Corona, and like as I said, as good as it is compared to the other two, certainly, you know, the sentiments and whatever else behind it, you know, that you can tell he's put a bit of thought into it, but it's just kind of, you know, yeah, it was a nice sentiment, but why are you adding it to the new album kind of thing with Bon Jovi?
And the thing I find very strange about the new album 2020 is the cover.
Yeah.
Is this the first time that it's ever been just John Bon Jovi on the cover?
Apart from the second album where he's like got the flames or whatever.
Up Fahrenheit something? Yeah.
Apart from that, but even that, you know, you'd have to really look at it to know what's in. But now, yeah, I think it's certainly the first one, I think, since then that it's just him on the album cover.
You know, looking at the track listing, I might have to do a little renaming here.
Okay.
So at number one, there would be Beautiful Cunt or Cunt Drug. At number four, there's Love Can, Love Cunt or Cunt Can. See, they're setting me up for more. Number five, Brother in Arms. Well, that could be Brother in Cunts. Story of Love could be Cunt of Love or Story of Cunt. Lower the Cunt at number seven. Let It Cunt. And have you seen what number 10 is called on the album?
Not off the top of my head.
Called Blood in the Water. You can fill the blanks in there, because I'm going to have my dinner.
Someone said the other day on Twitter that they want you to merge one song title. So, like, for instance, one name song title. So you've got like Fear, which is one. They want you to rename any Bon Jovi just one word song title and put your favorite word in front or after it.
Oh, fear would then be Flaps.
Any others?
Let's see. Bounce would be Blurt. Undivided. Will we even have to change that one? Let's see. Well, we'll go with the 2020, some of the new stuff. Shine would be called slime. That's disgusting. Ah.
What about Unbroken?
Yeah, see, he doesn't have to change. But with Bon Jovi, do you think they keep putting out new stuff because they feel the need to, or because they actually want to?
I genuinely don't think they want to, because you only have to look at the set list there that you went to, the Dublin one. What is the two songs from the new album? This House and Off for Sale and Rollercoaster. I think they were the only two. You know, from when the tour's named after the album and you're only playing two songs, it's not, you know, it kind of doesn't kind of prove to me that you want to play the new material.
Yeah, but I still think, though, that This House Is Not For Sale, I think that's one of their best ever songs, because is there something about it? It's like there's, what's the term? Bombastic? You know?
As in, like, shaggy?
Another me. Thank you very much. I just think that there was so much, it seemed like with that title track, so much went into that.
Yeah.
And then the rest was just 10 more songs or whatever it was.
Yeah, like, This House Is Not For Sale didn't seem to me, it was still kind of pop rock, which is kind of what Bon Jovi have always been, really, apart from the odd song, but it didn't seem so forced and really, didn't, you know, nothing like It's My Life and Have a Nice Day With You and Every Day With You, just trying to copy the same song.
They really, lyrically doesn't change much, because, like, what's the album, Who Says You Can't Go Home, what album's that on?
Have a Nice Day.
Yeah, that was strange, and then there was another one, We Weren't Born to Follow. They all kind of sound like they're the same song.
Yeah. Well, this, like, John's kind of described this album as like a politically, socially conscious record again, which, you know, they just kind of need to get rid of, in my opinion. They just need to sack that off now.
Yeah, because it's funny you mention that, because one of the guests I had on my podcast since I spoke to you was Katie Hopkins.
Oh, yeah.
And see, I wanted to talk to her for not. See, the thing is, she says a lot of really racist shit. And I don't agree with her on that point of view, but what I do agree with her is her opinions on physical health and healthy eating, because I'll send you the photo after this, but way, way back over a decade ago, after I left school, I couldn't get a job. I got up to like 260 pounds.
Wow.
Was really, really out of shape, and if it wasn't people taking the piss, then I would have fucking probably had a heart attack or something. So then it's just, fuck, I gotta lose weight, gotta get in shape and all that. I agree with her on that point of view, but then I think people need to leave politics out of stuff, because after she appeared on my podcast, I get all these new followers on Twitter and social media from these right-wing people, and they're like, you should do an episode about getting rid of that gay marriage, and be like, why would it do that? Yeah. I don't give a fuck. I wasn't even agreeing with her on most of the shit we were talking about.
What made you get Katie Hopkins, or how did you go about getting her on? I mean, I know this has gone off Bon Jovi, but I'm intrigued. How did that go?
Yeah, I happened to see her, I think it was on Instagram, and her email's at the top of the page, and I thought, fuck it, I might as well try. Because if you don't ask, you never know. Like you can either ask the Anthony Joshua to do your podcast, and he's either going to say yes, or he's going to say no.
Yeah.
And if he says yes, that's fucking amazing. And if he says no, then you got to talk to people like me.
I don't know which one I prefer, to be honest. I think you provide more entertainment.
I actually had a fucking shit one today. For about nearly a year, I've been trying to get Alan McGee for an interview for an Oasis special. And Alan McGee was Oasis's manager right up to the end. And he'd been saying yes for ages. And I'm coming up to a bit of a break soon. And I thought, hey, Alan, if you happen to be available over the next week or whatever, I'd love to interview you. And he goes, not interested, pass. Wow. It's like, you ginger fucker, you told me for months, yes, I hope you fucking died of coronavirus.
Fucking hell. Wow.
Unless he changes his mind, that is.
Jeez. Wow. Gone off a little bit off topic there, but I don't know how to bring it back, to be honest with you. So.
He is a cunt, and Bond, and the word cunt fits so easily in the Bon Jovi lyrics.
Into lyrics, okay, that's a different one. How would you go about that one?
Oh, just, your cunt is like cunt medicine. Cunt medicine is what I need.
Living on a prayer.
I want to go back to my theory of Christmas songs, because I think that the fact that they have so many Christmas songs with no Christmas tours, winter tour, I think that that's the next thing that they should really do. And that's sort of like, we'll bring you back to the fun Bon Jovi.
Would you like a Christmas Bon Jovi song?
I have this weird thing where I love Christmas music so much that I think it's my actual favorite genre of music. But you can only listen to it from November 1st to like December 25th. So it's like, I actually look forward to hearing the songs. Whereas all other kind of music, but yeah, I think that a Christmas album, or at least an EP of Christmas songs, would be a really great move for Bon Jovi. Like, do you like Robbie Williams?
Yeah, I love Robbie Williams. Big fan. See, oh yeah, here's something for you. You'll like this. I think this.
That's we signed that.
A signed version, yeah.
Well, that's what I was going to bring up, because I fucking hate Robbie Williams, but I heard one of those Christmas songs called Rudolph.
Oh, yeah.
And it's five-star brilliant. So yeah. I got that album, and it's like, right, that is fucking amazing. Robbie Williams is back in my good books for a while. And I'd love to hear Bon Jovi do exactly what Williams did. It's a cover, it's a copy of, it's a mixture of covers and originals. And
yeah.
Well, and plus, his Christmas songs are fucking great.
Well, there's like, as you said there with the Robbie Williams one, there's like 24 songs on, like, it's like a double album, but yeah, like nine or ten of them are covers, and then the rest are all his, and I actually prefer the ones that are his ones, just something new, and they're all, I absolutely loved it. I listened to it a lot over Christmas, but it got me thinking, like, I'd love, because, like, the last Bon Jovi Christmas song we got was what, like, 93, something like that, 94, with Please Come Home for Christmas.
Yeah, the blowjob song, as I call it.
The witch one? Oh, of course, yeah.
Yeah, there's no way. It makes no sense that she's in that video.
It doesn't, to be fair.
I think that whole thing was a devious concept of, we gonna get her and she's gonna suck on it. But yeah, that's what I'd love. Like, Def Leppard did a fucking Christmas song about 2 years ago.
I don't understand why they haven't, to be honest with you. Again, it's, you know, if they're kind of releasing new music that's going unnoticed, you may as well try and release a Christmas song to get some exposure.
Yeah, I mean, for all they know, it's going to be a massive hit that's going to give them their next big single. And I think it's worth the risk. And all they could do is put out like a five-song EP with Please Come Home. I wish every day could be like Christmas. They did Blue Christmas, and then two or three new ones, and everyone's going to be like, you know, fucking nice one from Bon Jovi.
Yeah. What? Why do you think they haven't released a Christmas song for a while then?
I think that John Bon Jovi's got himself in this weird sort of like business mode. And it's kind of like there's a seriousness to him that I don't like. I do like the fact that he's thought about other people with this tour cancellation. But when you see him being interviewed today compared to the way he was before, like, he refers to the band as an organization.
Yeah.
Like, we got to work on the organization. And it's like, it's a fucking band. Like, you've got a song called Blood on Cunt. You know, it's not, that's it. In and out of cunt.
Is there any other bands that you can fit that way into, or is it just Bon Jovi?
Well, AC/DC's too obvious, but we'll try with the Robbie Williams.
Okay, that sounds good.
Type this bastard up here.
Tell you what, after Robbie Williams, try John Bon Jovi solo albums and Richie Sambora solo albums.
Okay, well, we'll start with here's Robbie Williams' greatest hits. Cunt Before I Die, Lazy Cunts, Let Me Entertain Cunt, Cunt Regrets, She's the Cunt, Cunt DJ, Let Cunt Be Your Energy, The Cunt the Mandalay. There's a song called Sexed Up, you know. Cunt Undone. There you go.
Maybe it's not just Bon Jovi then.
Yeah, but John Bon Jovi's solo stuff, this would be good.
Yeah, because some of them album titles are quite, song titles are quite strange as well, so.
Let's see here. What was the album he did, Midnight in Chelsea?
Destination Anywhere.
A Destination Anywhere. Where are you, you bastards? Ah, fuck, I can't find them. Where's the Young Guns?
Should all be on there, I think. Where are you on, Spotify?
I'm on iTunes here.
Ah, okay. I could probably read them out to you if you want and see. I'm sure you can mix them up. Where is he? I'll have a little look on mine. Yeah, definitely on Spotify, both albums. The first one.
So is Blaze of Glory now considered to be a Bon Jovi song and not a solo song?
They haven't played it for a while, but it was in the set list a fair bit around like 2011 and before.
Wait, I find them. So we've got the Destination Anywhere album.
Okay.
Oh, God. Cunt of New Orleans. Genie, Don't Take Your Cunt to Town. Cunt in Chelsea. Staring at Your Cunt with a Suitcase in My Hand.
You've missed the track between Midnight and Chelsea and Staring at Your Window. You could add a word. You could add the word onto that one.
Kisses. let's see. Every word was a piece of my cunt. It's just cunt, cunt anywhere. Learning cunt to fall, little cunt. Cold hard cunt. I'm gonna try the Young Guns album. Billy, Get Your Cunts. Cunt of Glory, Cunt Money or Blood Cunt, Santa Cunt, that's a Christmas one.
Yeah, there's the EP.
Cunt in the Barrel, Never Say Cunt, You Really Got Cunt Now, Buying a Cunt, Dying a Cunt Ain't Much of a Living, and of course, Cunt City.
Oh my word. It is literally in every single song, solo or band.
It's unbelievable that it works with him so much. But we'll try Richie Sambora here.
Okay.
What's going on with him then? Does he? He's officially like, are they on good terms, Sambora?
No. So about 3 weeks ago, Richie Sambora sold all of his rights to the songs that he's credited on.
To Bon Jovi?
No, to some fella, literally some company.
Ooh.
So he's now got a big fee, and then all the credits go to this company or this fella now.
That is a shocking one. Yeah. Well, by the way, we'll start with a Stranger in This Town.
Okay.
Cunt in Peace. I will go with Rest in Cunt. Cunt of Desire, Stranger in This Cunt. here's one for R. Kelly, Cunt of Youth. One Cunt Burning, Mr. Punchman, River of Cunt, Father Cunt, and yeah.
You could change Father Time to Cunt Time.
Cunt, ah, see, teamwork. here's one from Undiscovered Soul. It's Cunt in America. Hard cunts come easy. Cunt from Graceland, that's about Elvis Presley's daughter. Cunt Not Alone, Undiscovered Cunt. I don't think that Bon Jovi's experienced that much. In It for Cunt. If God was a cunt. Cunt That Really Matters. Downside of Cunt. Harlem Cunt. Hey, baby. And Cunt I Am. Which I think is the name of the guy from the Black Eyed Peas.
So, are you a fan of Richie's solo work?
No, I can't stand him. If you go back and watch pretty much any interview he did throughout the 90s, he tries so hard to be funny and make these big fucking hilarious jokes and nobody reacts. And then he just awkwardly sort of looks at his hands and he's like, ah, fuck it, I'm rich.
He's even richer now selling the rights. Or you think. Because Bon Jovi can't be streaming many songs anymore. Or certainly not the demand that they used to be. So you'd imagine that Richie Sambora must have made a fair little bit over the past few weeks with that.
That is weird though, because he's officially, that's him like done with Bon Jovi
that's
now.
That's it, yeah. I mean, whether he thought, you know, they'll do one album without him and that'll be it. And after the Hall of Fame, they get together again. And then he's seen that they're doing a second album without him. Who knows?
There's a third solo album called Aftermath of the Lowdown.
Yeah.
Burn that cunt down. Every cunt leads home to you. Taking a chance on the cunt. Weathering the cunt. Sugar cunt. I'll always walk beside cunt. Seven cunts gone. Learning how to fly the broken cunt. And cunt can only get so high. And of course, backseat cunt. Oh yeah!
So yeah.
It is very weird when you hear stuff like him selling off the Bon Jovi rights, because I'm pretty sure that John Bon Jovi made an offer to buy it from him.
Wouldn't surprise me, to be honest with you. I kind of wonder if John even was aware that he was going to be selling them, or did it just happen?
Yeah, that's the thing that's very strange. In the, like the, have you heard any rumours as to what made him leave? Because what I'd read before was that he was dealing with a bit of a drink problem and that being on the road wasn't helping much.
I don't know. I've heard plenty of rumours.
Take a break to kick the drink habit. But eventually that can be dealt with. But to then never come back while then still going on the road playing Bon Jovi stuff, it something's up.
Yeah, like I've heard loads of rumours. I mean, I think the drink one, I do think he had a drink problem, but I think that still carried on until at least about 2016, watching some performances. Like he was, there was one in Australia, he'd done at like a horse racing event, and he looked absolutely off his head. He was just smashed. I just think they just fell out, to be honest with you. I just think he had enough. John, as you said there, John's kind of in business mode rather than fun mode now, and the shows are so like static and rehearsed and formulated. I think it's just a bit, I think he just got a little bit bored, to be honest with you.
But that's something that even with like when I went to that Fleetwood Mac gig, it was the first time I'd ever seen them, so I was like, oh my god, they're opening with The Chain, they're playing Everywhere, they're playing Little Lies, Goldust Woman, all these huge songs back to back.
Yeah.
But you could tell that this was exactly rehearsed.
Yeah.
Like, and that's why I'll likely never go see Guns N' Roses again, because when I went to see them at Slane Castle, the night before, we were camping out in the field next door, and we heard the sound check. And it was exactly the show.
Really, yeah.
That we got the next day, like even the stage banter and shit. So we were like, "Oh, they're not a band anymore. It's a show band."
Yeah, I think Bon Jovi have always kind of, they used to have fun. You look at, I mean, you said before, for instance, the Live in London show, you got John and Richie absolutely bombing it around the stage and like lay your hands on me, and you know, I know they're a lot older, and John with his big grey wig would be a bit daft running around the stage, but the kind of fun elements has just gone. You know exactly what moves John's going to do, his little star jumps here and there, and you know exactly when he's going to walk to Phil X and point at his guitar and everything like that. I mean, you can kind of, you only have to look at a tribute band, they've got John nailed on.
Yeah,
like they literally, it's kind of scary how like close to John they are.
But that's why I love Bruce Springsteen so much, because you never know what he's going to play ever. Even last time I went to see him, he was doing the anniversary tour of his album The River, and he played fuck all from it.
Really?
And it's like, well, he played Hungry Heart, and it's like, what the fuck am I?
Well, I've got a question with the Bruce kind of comparison. So obviously I know he probably didn't sing songs as high as John, you know, back in the day and whatever else, and destroy his vocals, but he's like, what, 10 years older than John, is he? Something like that. John's what, 56, is he? 58? John's 58.
I think he's about 12 years older.
Is he? So, like, have you noticed the deterioration in, like, his showmanship at all, or his vocals? Bruce Springsteen, this is.
Well, his last album came out last year, and it was amazing.
Wow.
But it was a very laid-back, chilled album.
Mm.
But he hasn't been on tour for about 4 or 5 years. So it all depends. Well, obviously it depends. But it's hard to tell just yet. But, like, Bono's voice is still amazing, even though they've become, U2's become this silly dull band. But
Bono's voice went downhill for a while, didn't it? And then it seemed to pick up again around like 2004 or so. I remember
he's a fucking, see if the stories that Noel Gallagher says about him are true, Bono's a fucking raging alcoholic.
Is he? Yeah.
Yeah, because he told a story where they were doing a show in Ireland, and they went out drinking afterwards, and Noel says he woke up in this random house, which he was, when he woke up the next morning, he discovered it was Bono's house, and then because he went into the kitchen and Bono was there having scrambled eggs with two beers. It's like, that's disgusting.
Jeez.
So, yeah, and he always looks drunk on the fucking U2 Instagram, so.
It's mad that, because a lot of people also say about John Bon Jovi, like he's kind of admitted to having like a bottle of wine after every show or something like that, and now he's got his own bottle of wine as a brand, the Hampton Water, and you know, it just kind of shows how maybe he just, as you kind of said there with Bono, you know, maybe behind the scenes he could be on the drink a fair bit. I'm not saying John is, by the way, I'm just saying like vocals obviously have declined and whatever else, and people have kind of put it down to drink, you never know.
Yeah, but that's the thing, though, with, what's the word, see, when this coronavirus lockdown ends, wait till you see how many people fucking start getting into the drink, like, often. Like, yeah. I've had two drinks a week for this whole time, and it's driving me insane.
See, I don't really drink, so I'm all right with my little waters, but I can see, I just know as soon as this gets lifted, it is going to be like everyone else, every man for themselves.
Yeah, but that's what you're lucky, because you're a personal trainer, because I didn't notice until this morning I was brushing my teeth that, like, fuck, I've put on a lot of weight.
What, during lockdown? Or?
Yeah, because I was brushing my teeth this morning and I looked in the mirror and I was like, what the fuck is that? And it's like my whole gut was down, and it's like, but I've been running every day, and I've been training every day, and it's like, yeah, but you're also sitting down a lot more.
Yeah.
So it's like, so as soon as this fucking lockdown's done, I'll slowly try to do it.
So I want to know, obviously, did you say that you haven't listened to the This House Is Not For Sale album?
Haven't listened to that. I only heard that one single.
How come you haven't listened to the album, especially with how much you like that song? How come you haven't listened to the rest of the album?
I remember when that single came out, they seemingly went on this like 2-year tour of America.
Yeah.
And then I thought, well, by the time they come here, I'll give it a go. And then when they did come here, I just thought, I don't give a fuck.
You didn't miss much as well, because as I said, they only played two songs from it.
See, that's the shit that does my head in as well. Is that, like, I love AC/DC, but they'll spend like 3-4 years making a new album to then never play it live.
Yeah.
It's like, well, why didn't you just fucking go back on tour? And you could have done it for a whole extra year, but these artists...
But as you said, you know, does the Bon Jovi even need to do it anymore? And the only reason I think now is that they do combine these albums, these new albums, is just because they don't want to be classed as this nostalgia band, as John always says. You know, I'm still releasing fresh material and whatever else.
Which I don't get, because if they did like a Keep the Faith anniversary, which is coming up.
Yeah.
30 years, in 2 years' time, it's a 30-year anniversary of Keep the Faith.
Yeah.
I would 100% go to that.
Oh, 100%. I think so many would. I think in 3 or 4 years' time, it's like the 40th anniversary. And just because of this whole nostalgia thing, I don't even think they'll do anything for that. Whereas imagine releasing, like, singing the songs of, like, the first two albums back again.
Yeah, but that's what I don't get. Like, this year, or last year, was the 25th anniversary of Born in the USA.
Mm.
And Bruce did nothing for that.
Yeah.
Which I couldn't fucking... Like, one of the biggest albums in history, and you do nothing to celebrate it.
Yeah.
AC/DC, it's the 40th anniversary of Back in Black this year.
Yeah.
Which I'd heard there was going to be some sort of celebration, but obviously not. You two have got an Act Hung Baby anniversary coming up, so it's like... So I think as long as there's a vaccine, there could be a lot of amazing tours coming up for scumbags like this.
Do you think there'll ever be anything like that? Like you said, a Keep the Faith type of tour or a Slippery When Wet tour, or do you think that there'll be a 40th anniversary, which might be the end of Bon Jovi?
I think that business-wise, I think what'll happen is that they'll be like, we're going to do a small tour of anniversary shows, and then that usual shit of, Shepherd's Bush Empire sold out in 2 minutes, so yeah, we've announced 10 nights at Wembley Stadium.
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah. I want to know, like, did you hear where Bon Jovi were meant to be playing in this winter tour? Like, that was rumoured.
It's just like the UK and Ireland, like arenas, I would assume.
It's mad though, isn't it? I mean, the fact that they still sold out Wembley Stadium and Anfield and wherever else in the UK and the RDS and Ireland and that. Like, why? Makes you wonder why they're doing a winter tour.
Yeah.
So soon.
Well, I think it was just because, I think it was kind of a case of, well, why not?
Mm.
Because the same, like, the Foo Fighters have always been rumoured to do that, but if they did, but then again, it's probably a load of shit.
So would you not even see Bon Jovi in like an arena setting now, do you not think?
I would probably do it if they played in Belfast.
Yeah.
But I'll not be going like to Dublin again to see them, because it's again, like, I don't want to come across like, oh, they're shit, but I going to see them live made me realise that I like them, not like, oh, yeah, Bon Jovi. It's
say, for instance, you didn't go and see Fleetwood Mac and Metallica, do you think the show would have been different for you?
Maybe, but I also thought the problem is having too good of a set list, which, to be fair, is amazing value for money. Yeah. Sorry, too good of a support act.
Yeah.
Which is amazing value for money, so that's great on them. But at the same time, it's like the set list just wasn't for me, and it was very... They didn't just set list for casuals, they did it for more diehards. Mm. And sadly, I'm on the casual side.
Do you think... What was the question? Have you seen who Bon Jovi were meant to have support?
Your volume went down again.
I see. Is that better?
No.
No. How's that? Still not?
That's it there.
Ah, okay. What was I going to say to you? Did you see who Bon Jovi were meant to have as their support act in America?
Yeah, Brian Adams.
Brian Adams, yeah.
That would have been... That's the kind of thing where I'd heard a rumour earlier this year, a tour I was going to go see earlier this year, I was going to see was Whitesnake.
Oh, yeah.
Going on tour with Europe. Now, separately, I would never go see them. But then when I heard they were touring together, I was like, oh! Yeah.
But as you said there, with the Manics being kind of such a good support act, I mean, as I said, I knew songs by them, but I never ever seen them or anything like that, and I was pleasantly surprised. Do you think that's the kind of compensate the actual show? Do you know what I mean? You've come away saying Manics were good. Do you think that's kind of compensated the Bon Jovi event, let's say, rather than Bon Jovi as an act and themselves?
Well, I think it's kind of to get past the criticism, because concerts cost so much money these days, where it's like to get a decent seat at a gig, it's around £100.
Yeah.
And especially with the way it's going to be after this lockdown's over, like, people are fucking skint. And if you're really going to expect us to pay £100 for like a 2-hour concert, there better be a whole lot of other shit pumped with it. So I think this is kind of Bon Jovi's way, rightfully, of giving the buying public, you know, value for money. Which, I mean, because they had Def Leppard open for them on that tour as well, which I thought was, yeah. I'd have shit myself if I'd have seen Def Leppard.
Yeah, I before it all got announced, or before Manics got announced, I kind of wanted Def Leppard just because I knew of them more than Manics. As I said, I've come away, kind of call myself a Manic fan now, but would you go and see Bon Jovi with Bryan Adams in the UK? Would that?
That I probably would go see.
Would you, yeah?
Can I tell you a quick Def Leppard story?
Go on.
So when I went to see Fleetwood Mac at the fucking RDS, and we're watching the Pretenders, and then fucking Shane McGowan from the Pogues came out to sing with the Pretenders, so my fucking head's blown away. Then we're watching Fleetwood Mac, and I remember being this big fruity looking blonde haired guy near me. And I was like, what a twat, to get your fucking haircut, you girl. And then I'm looking at my photographs from when I go home. Joe Elliott, the lead singer of Def Leppard, was standing in front of me the whole fucking night.
Fuck.
And I thought, how the fuck did I, because I love Def Leppard. And I was like, how the fuck did I miss that?
Was your pitch?
No, I wasn't even that drunk, and I didn't even think he was drinking. And I just thought, I'm so pissed off, because the Def Leppard meet and greet's like 500-600 quid. And at the time I was going through a lot of money problems, and it's like, I could have just said, Mr. Elliott, any chance of one of these, or I'm like, you're fucking bollocking. But, yeah, it was, I couldn't believe that. So yeah, that's my Def Leppard story.
See, it's mad, because 500-600 quid, I mean, John Bon Jovi charges a lot more for a meet and greet by the sounds of it, with them Runaway Cruises and whatever else.
Yeah.
Have you seen anything on the Runaway Cruises and Runaway to Paradise shows and all that?
Yeah, they seem shit, but I remember seeing a thing that on one of the cruises, he arrived by a helicopter and then got right off the boat straight away, so
yeah,
like that's not the way it was advertised. Like,
yeah, he doesn't stay on the cruise. He literally, on and off, that's him.
Yeah, unless he did the Bon Jovi Christmas cruise, the cunt cruise.
Would you go and see the Christmas cruise? If he said he was just going to play a full show of Christmas songs, one night only in Slane Castle, actually maybe that might be cold, in, I don't know, somewhere in Dublin that's like closed off, would you go and see them?
100%. I'd fucking Christmas makes me like Michael Bublé, and he's not usually my kind of thing.
Oh, I love the Bublé Christmas album, me.
Oh, the Christmas album I love, but the rest of it I think is a pile of shit.
See, I'm quite like you. I love Christmas songs, and one thing I have always wanted is a new Bon Jovi Christmas song. Not even to chart well, just something different.
Knowing him, though, he'd probably do it with some fucking R&B singer.
Yeah, to try and stay current.
Yeah, and it'll be all about how you can do it at Christmas.
It would. It definitely would be about that. It would be all about sharing and giving, and it wouldn't be to celebrate or not, and whether it would be all about being kind and stuff.
about how his top lip has stopped moving since the 90s.
He is very like staying, isn't he, when he talks now?
Yeah.
So, obviously, as I said, the album and the tour, you know, being delayed, do you think you'll listen to 2020 at all?
I really doubt I'll ever listen to it by choice.
Really, yeah?
Yeah. It's just, new Bon Jovi doesn't interest me, because, like, since... Well, here's the thing. My peak fandom was back in 95 when These Days came out.
Yes.
And I loved it. And then they did the tour and they kind of vanished. We did, yeah, because then, yeah, Crossroads came out then These Days.
Yeah.
And back, there was like a 5-year gap between albums. And back then there was no internet or social media. There was internet. But you couldn't like get up to date. News ago, they were in the studio, so we had no fucking idea.
Yeah.
So, and 5 years back then was a long fucking time. And I remember seeing the big banner in the HMV, and it says, new Bon Jovi album coming out in like 4 months' time. And you're like, what? And then they're like, new single debut next week. And you go, what the fuck?
Yeah.
The new stuff. And then It's My Life came out, and I hated it.
Wow.
And then Crush came out, and I fucking thought it was terrible. And that burned me off new Bon Jovi forever. And really, that hasn't been much. And Crush is only 20 years old.
Yeah.
So in 20 years, there's been like three Bon Jovi songs I like.
Yeah.
So the idea of anything new by them is like, not for me.
Well, before we wrap up, that kind of makes me want to ask you, why don't you try and get the Limitless song on Spotify and just tell me what you think of like the first verse and the chorus while we're on here? I want to know your thoughts on it, because like a lot of Bon Jovi fans, a couple have grew to like it, but a lot of Bon Jovi fans despise it, and I'm not a fan of it at all. It's, as I said, it's very basic and what you'd expect from Bon Jovi, but some people do like it, so I kind of want to get your thoughts on it.
I'll give the old iTunes preview. You know, I think that Spotify is the reason for the rise of concert ticket prices, because nobody's buying music anymore.
Yeah, oh, definitely, yeah. All the money.
So they're like, right, fuck, well, if somebody won't buy my £10 album, then I'm going to charge them £120 for my concert.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give the Limitless preview here a click on iTunes.
Okay.
Here we go. Sounds like The Killers.
Yeah, very Bon Jovi, 2000-esque.
Yeah, that's kind of lazy. But then, one of the problems with Bon Jovi is the thing about this fucking song is they've done this before.
Exactly, yeah. It's just nothing new. And, like, the thing is as well, before it got released, they put like a little 30-second preview up on their like YouTube page, and it sounded all right, and like that was the best part of the song. It was like the first verse where it had a little bit of like aggression to it, and then just it's so shit after that.
Yeah, but it seems to me that they do the thing that U2 did, where they make a new album with some poppy rock song like this that they can open up the new tour with, and then yeah, see that's not going to attract any new fans.
Oh no, yeah, definitely. Like it hasn't attracted new or old. To be honest with you, it's just nothing new at all, and that hasn't got me excited for the new album. Put it that way. Whereas This House Is Not For Sale did.
Yeah, This House Is Not For Sale. I fucking love it. But so is the 2020 album still coming in May, or have they delayed it?
No, it's delayed until October 30th, I think.
If that's the fucking sound quality, they can. I actually look forward to the next batch of coronavirus.
I'm a bit disappointed because, like, even though there's like 6 months delayed or 5 months delayed, like on the album from now, nothing's gonna change. It's not like he's got like, you know what? After 5 months, I might add another song or two. We've already heard one of them, which was for coronavirus anyway. So. It's you know, delaying it 5 months is going to do absolutely nothing to the album. You know, you could change the album cover for a start.
Yeah,
it literally looks like a photo in like me nan's house.
Yeah, it looks like a shitty podcast cover, which I'm guilty of myself.
It's an awful, awful album cover though. I just it just shows what the band stands for. Now it's just John, really, isn't it? Let's be honest. But
and what would be funny is if we get delayed again. Then they have to change the album title.
Exactly. Like, what's going to happen now with this tour that's been cancelled? Is it going to be labelled the 2021 tour with a 2020 album?
Yeah.
Like, it just makes no sense.
The remake has a wash your hands, wash your gun.
Right, is there anything else you want to say before we wrap this up?
Yes, if anybody's a fan of new podcast, you know, your mind, it's called It's Usually Hello on iTunes. There's a whole mixture of backgrounds of guests we've had on there, from the world of boxing to the world of pro wrestling to comedy. Coming up soon, if you're a music fan, we've got Simone Marie from Primal Scream. She's the bass player. We've also, from the film world, we've had the writer of Die Hard, Stephen D'Souza, the director of iRobot. Writers of all kinds of shit. It's Usually Entertainment on iTunes. And if you want to see the video version of some of the stuff, check out Usually Entertainment on YouTube, which very frustratingly has a pretty decent subscriber count. They've got about 9,000 subscribers. Wow. But the view count is fucking pathetic. And I don't understand how or why that is.
Yeah.
I've got over 9,000 subscribers and I uploaded a video last Friday that has about 48 views today.
Wow.
I don't get that.
Yeah. Who was the guest who was in the boxing world just before we finish? As you can see, I'm a big boxing fan. So.
Well, I've actually had two. I've had Johnny Nelson.
Did you?
And which I'll send you the link, and I also had Adam Smith, the famous commentator.
Yeah, the one who looks a bit like a weasel.
Yes, and they were both on, and I'm hoping to get soon. Do you know Anna Woolley?
Yeah, the Sky Sports with the glasses.
Hoping to get her on there very soon, if you know what I mean.
How did you go about getting Adam Smith and Johnny Nelson on?
Yeah, it's just like the whole thing with Katie Hopkins. Like, a lot of people put their emails up on the website or whatever.
Yeah.
So I thought, fuck it, if they say yes, great. If they don't, well, fuck them.
Definitely send me them too. As I said, I love my boxing, especially Sky Sports boxing. So I'll listen to them definitely.
All right, I'm sending them as you drink that water.
So yeah, we'll wrap this up, Adam. Hopefully there's plenty more songs for you to rename on future podcasts.
I hope so, and we should definitely do a Bon Jovi Christmas discussion for my podcast towards the end of the year.
Sounds good to me. I've just got your link. Sounds good to me. You never know, with the album being out in October, who's to say Bon Jovi don't release a Christmas song to coincide?
Yeah, and who says you can't go home?
Oh, there we go. We'll end on that. Cheers, Adam.
No problem.
See you soon.
See you soon.